Christmas may still be a long way off, but Skip Heitzig points out that that season holds an important lesson for us as we look for Jesus' return.
When Jesus came the first time, there was a star. You remember what those guys were called that followed the star? Wise men. Wise men picked up that sign. Fools disregarded. Oh, you're following a star. You made a trip for nothing. They were fools. They disregarded the sign.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
When you go on a road trip, signs can be very helpful. They can tell you how much further you have left to travel, when you can expect to find food, and perhaps most importantly, especially if you're traveling with small children, when the next rest stop is. Now, our journey through life is also populated with signs, but it isn't always quite as clear as what they indicate. And today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig will help us understand what the signs we see today are pointing to, and just how well they may or may not fit with the Bible's description of the end times. Before we begin, though, if you're looking for a little help with interpreting the signs of the times, you might want to consider this.
We read the headlines, we hear the news, but are we missing vital clues that reveal just how close the prophecies of Revelation are to becoming reality?
C.H. Spurgeon said, "To be looking out for the Lord is a blessed thing. If you are always waiting for Christ's coming, untold blessings are wrapped up in that glorious hope."
This month, The Connection invites you to explore the biblical prophecies of the end times with Skip Heitzig.
The prophet Zechariah declared this: "All of the surrounding nations will send their armies to besiege Jerusalem." The Hamas would love to see that happen.
Joel Rosenberg.
And the fact that you know Christ as your Savior, or can know Him today, is special. And it means God has a plan and purpose for you.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Greg Laurie, and more. Order the CD set from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference today for just $35. This collection of seven teachings on CD reveals the significance of today's current events and how they're playing a part in fulfilling biblical prophecies, and why Jerusalem is at the epicenter of it all. Order your CD set of the Preach the Word Prophecy Conference from The Connection when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or order a set online at connectionradio.org. A collision is coming. The question is, when?
So are the events taking place right now in the world, especially in the Middle East, truly signs of biblical events or of something else? Stay with us to find out.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Let's get caught up with Skip for today's study.
The harpazo, the rapto, the could happen at any moment. And I spoke to a student last night who said, "I hope it comes before school starts this year." And I said, "Amen." I do too. It could come at any moment. We're waiting for that. There is nothing on the prophetic timetable that precludes the Lord from taking us away anytime. So we look up for that. Now, also, some believe that the events of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, which is Israel being invaded from the north with allies of Persia, Iran, and others, could also occur before the tribulation. There's debate on that, but several believe that we could see that happen, which makes the events over in the Middle East, what's been happening in the last few weeks, very interesting, and we're watching it very carefully. So how are we to look? We're to look up. Number two, we're to look around. Because you'll notice the word in the question the disciples posed to Jesus back in verse 3. What will be the sign of your coming? And the term sign or signs is used throughout Matthew 24. Semeion, sign, signal, indicator, clue. You know, God is a God of signs. When God works upon the earth, he does it in such a way that he gives mile markers, indicators, so that his people will know what's coming ahead. Listen to this very interesting scripture out of the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. That's interesting. When God works, he reveals so that his prophets can tell his people this is what's happening. So there are signs of the times. On one occasion, the religious leaders came to Jesus and they said, show us a sign from heaven. Which is, it's an interesting demand since he had just been doing all sorts of miracles. And now they want a sign. What have they been seeing? And Jesus said, well, you fellas, in the evening when the sky is red, you make a prediction and you say it's going to be beautiful weather tomorrow. But if you wake up in the morning and you see the sky is red, you make another prediction. You say it's going to be foul weather today. You're reading the signs of the heavens. And then he said to them, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. How is it that you can't discern the signs of the times? In other words, I'm holding you guys accountable to read the signs that would predict that I am your Messiah who has come for this season. There were signs, there were indicators, several of them. 300 plus predictions in the Old Testament that would give the personal profile of the Messiah, so it would be unmistakable. Every Jew at the time should be able to point to Jesus and say, that's the Christ. The Bible predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The Bible predicted that the Messiah would be under the tribe of Judah, that he would have the lineage of King David, that he would also be there before the destruction of the temple. There were several signs, and they didn't see what those signs were. Well, we have several more signs that we're to look around at. Matthew 24 gives a list of them. Now, again, just want to underscore, the signs that we're about to read today and in the next several weeks are signs that will occur during the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, also known as the time of Jacob or Israel's trouble. Primarily, those signs happen then. How do I know that? Well, if you were to compare the signs that are here, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, verse 5. Verse 6, you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for these are things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. If you compare that with Revelation chapter 6, where we see the judgments unfolding at the end times. And you remember there was a scroll that was sealed with seven seals, and the Lamb, Christ, takes the scroll and peels off each seal. And with each peeling of the seal is a judgment. So the first seal is peeled off, and out comes a white horse. And that's the horse that brings deception. And then he peels off the second seal, and out comes a red horse. And that horse brings war. And he peels the third seal, and out comes a black horse, and that's the horse of famine. And then he peels off the fourth seal, and out comes a pallid, a pale horse, and the horse brings death. And the signs that come in chapter 6 of Revelation are strikingly similar to the signs that Jesus tells us here. There's another clue, verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. If you have a New International Version, what does your version read? Birth pains. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. That is a more accurate translation. And it's a clue. And every mother in this congregation knows what Jesus is speaking about. You see, birth pains aren't normal pains. You don't have them all through a pregnancy. Birth pains are specific to the time a child is about to be delivered. I remember that May evening in 1986 when Lenya turned to me and said, "He's coming." And I said, "The Lord's coming?" "No, my baby's coming. I know, because I'm feeling something I've never felt before. This pain is intense and this pain is frequent. It's timed. Those contractions are more frequent and more intense. And what a mother experiences with birth pains, the world will experience in the tribulation period." You see, the signs in verse 5, 6, 7, those things have always been around. There's always been false messiahs. There's always been war on the earth. There's always been famine in different places and pestilences. But when those things become more frequent and more intense, it's the beginning of birth pains. Something is going to be delivered. So it is in the book of Revelation. There are seal judgments, which probably take place over a period of years, followed by seven trumpet judgments, which probably take place over a period of months. Then finally, there are bowl judgments, as judgments are poured on the earth, that some believe take place more rapidly, certainly more intense, over a period of weeks or even days. Some think even hours. So the pain becomes more frequent and more intense. Now, I believe that even before the tribulation, as we start looking on the prophetic horizon, we also see some of these things lining up that cause us to watch the signs that are indicators that this time frame is about to come. Verse 42, you'll notice that Jesus gives this command: "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." So we're to look up, because Jesus could come back at any moment. We're to look around, because some of the signs that will be very evident in the tribulation, we're already starting to see on the prophetic horizon. When Jesus came the first time, there was a star. You remember what those guys were called that followed the star? Wise men. Wise men picked up that sign. Fools disregarded. "Oh, you're following a star. You made a trip for nothing." They were fools. They disregarded the sign. Like the man from New York City who bought a barometer. He always wanted one on his mantle. He went to a store. It was beautiful brass and wood, and he took it home to his house in Long Island. He opened it up. But as he looked at it, he was a little bit perturbed that the needle seemed to be stuck in one location, pointing to the section marked hurricane. The weather was perfect, but it was stuck, hurricane. So he pounded it on the desk. He shook it a little bit, but it stuck. Hurricane, it read. He was so angry, he sat down and he wrote a letter to the company that produced it and the store from which he bought it. And he said, "I'm going to mail the letter tomorrow when I'm in Manhattan at my office." He put the barometer on a shelf. Next day went to work, mailed the letter in downtown New York City, and in the afternoon drove back to Long Island. And he discovered that when he got there, not only was his barometer missing, but his house was also gone. A hurricane came. The indicator was right. He ignored the warning sign. So we're to look up. We're to look around. But third, we're to look out. Look at verse 4. Jesus answered, said to them, "Take heed." Blepo in the Greek means to open your eyes and look at something. Look out. "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ and will deceive many. Don't you find it interesting that the very first sign on the list of signs is spiritual deception? He doesn't just mention it once, he reinforces it. Verse 11, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 23, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ or there, don't believe it. For false Christs, false prophets will rise and shall show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. There's always been false messiahs before and after Christ. But as soon as Jesus came and ascended into heaven, there seemed to be an unusual amount of activity that has increased, proliferated through time. For instance, in the early days, just before the temple was destroyed, as predicted by Jesus, there was a Jewish guy by the name of Shimon Bar Kokhba, and he led a great revolt. There are still coins called Bar Kokhba coins you can find. They're collector's items. He said he was the Messiah and that he would overturn the Romans and bring Israel to their glory days. Thousands of people followed him and hailed him as the Messiah. He was a false Christ. Here's the greater point. We could cite all sorts of people who have claimed to be the Messiah throughout history, but we're not. Because here's the greater point. Of all of the tools Satan uses, his most powerful tool, where he puts all of his energy and focus, is on deceiving people. It's on deception. He's done a good job. He's duped a lot of people. Listen to this 17-year-old from Los Angeles. This was in the LA Times. He says, quote, I often think Satan is a cool dude. Since he controls one part of the supernatural, he tends to let you be on your own and do whatever you want. Whereas God wants to put you in a prison cell. That young man is deceived. The tool has been sharpened and it has worked effectively in his life. Revelation chapter 12 describes the devil. He's called the great dragon, the serpent of old, who deceives the whole world. And that deception will continue until Satan produces his masterpiece, the Antichrist, written about in Daniel, written about in Revelation chapter 13. He will deceive the world into worshiping him. In fact, the abomination of desolation that Jesus mentioned back there in Matthew 24, verse 15, is all about this guy claiming to be God and setting up a statue of himself in the temple at Jerusalem. He's a deceiver. And Jesus even predicted this. Listen to what he said. Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name and you didn't receive me. Another will come in his name. Him you will receive. Ooh, that's a scary prediction. Here's Jesus, the second member of the triune God, who has come honoring his Father under the power of the Holy Spirit. The nation didn't receive him. But he said, another will come in his own name, Antichrist. Him you, the Jews, will receive. That's the deception. But did you notice back in Matthew chapter 24, the term many? Look at it again, verse 5. For many, not one, not just two, not the false prophet and the Antichrist, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, while that sign, that prediction, primarily refers to the tribulation and the Antichrist deception, there is an ancillary, I believe, meaning, a secondary meaning. That is, you and I can expect Satan's activity of deception to be on the increase as the days go on toward the end. He will amp up his deceptive measures. I'm going to read a scripture to you, and I want you to listen carefully. It's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist, singular, is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Here's the point. When God moves, Satan countermoves. When God works, Satan counterworks. Every action brings an equal and opposite reaction. It's true even in the spiritual realm. When you turn on the light, the bugs will come. It's the way it is. And even Christians sometimes forget the real battle is a spiritual battle. We can easily get sidetracked and make the battle about something else, but here is the real battle. And somebody once wisely said, the devil is never too busy to rock the cradle of a sleeping saint. Would love to lull us to sleep in spiritual lethargy. So these signs go on and we forget all about them. What we're to do is to look up. Be waiting for Jesus to come at any moment, living holy and godly lives. We are to look around. Be aware of the landscape. Be aware of God's prophetic clock. But then we're to look out, to be wary of counterfeits, of deception. You know, polar bears love to eat seals. This is a fact. But do you know how polar bears catch seals? By deception. You see, a polar bear, they say, though I've never watched it, will take in a deep breath and go underneath the water and under the water look up and find the holes, the feeding holes of the seals. And under the water, the polar bear will make a scratching sound as if to simulate the movement of fish. Well, the seal gets all excited thinking there's a fish. He's going to jump down and get his supper only to discover he's the main course for the bear's supper. It's all deceptive. Could it be that some here have been lulled into unbelief or spiritual lethargy? Satan is clever. He'd love to destroy you. And if he can't do that, he would love to just disarm you, make you and I weak, unaware, not looking up, not looking around, not looking out. You remember one time when Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has been asking about you lately. Now that would unnerve me if I were Peter and I heard that. Oh, really? Yeah. And he said he wants to sift you like wheat, Jesus told him. Well, I would have said, well, what'd you tell him? Jesus said, but I've prayed for you, Peter. And when you are recovered, as if to say, you're going to fall, strengthen your brethren. Same could be said of you. Satan would love to destroy you, and if he can't destroy you, to deceive you, to cause you to lull into a sleep. But Jesus would say, look up, look around, look out.
It may seem like signs of the final days are popping up everywhere, but we need to be careful to sift through those that are hollow and distracting to those that are genuine. Otherwise, we'll just be chasing after the wind and we'll never get anywhere, let alone lead people to the truth. Well, if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, Sign, Sign, Everywhere a Sign, just call 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6. That includes shipping. Or you can also ask about getting this entire series entitled Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace. Now, for your convenience, you can also order online at connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free bonus booklet from Skip called When Kingdoms Collide. It's just a small way for us to thank you for getting in touch with us for the first time. So get your free booklet today when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. I also want to remind you that the deadline for School of Ministry registration is August 6th. So if you'd like to get some ministerial training, you need to register soon. Again, if you have questions about the School of Ministry or how to get a copy of today's teaching, just give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. 888-922-1888 or email us at info@connectionradio.org.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
You know, a quick glance at the news makes it seem unlikely that we'll ever see peace on Earth. Well, next time, we'll examine whether or not it will ever really be truly possible for all of us to just get along. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.